2020 starts off with a bang as Ivor gets a mammogram, Josh offends everyone, and Dor sees an Adam's apple.
Hey, hey, Podnutians, welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 556. This is our very first podcast of 2020, which means we all have perfect clarity and vision. Horrible pun. Also, I'll just say to the listener, if you would like to watch this show live, it's very easy. You can either do a bunch of things. Most of the links are in the scoobly-boop, aka the notes that you click on the show. You can either follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. I believe we actually do post there automatically because I'm not logging in. You can follow us on Discord. There's a link in the server. You can join us on our Mattermost server. We're there as well. And there's a couple other places where if you just want to be aware when we're going live, you can go there. Or you can go to YouTube, click there, click the bell, the ring-a-ding-ding, and you'll be notified when we go live. We try to go live Thursday nights around 9 p.m. New York time. Tonight, we're just a couple minutes late. Also, CES has already started this time of year, so we're already seeing some of the worst tech that could ever be imagined, publicized by the most least talented people, I believe, in the universe. Thankfully, we only have talented people here tonight, and one of them is Josh, and the other one is Ivor. How's everything going,
hey,
Ivor?
Hey, guys. Really, really good, thanks. I had an excellent Christmas with my family, and sent you guys a present. I see Santa has come and given you something to wear on your head so you don't get cold. Good to see.
My wife said that you're just trying to make me go bald faster. I tried to convince her that hats have nothing to do with baldness. And my wife being my wife, I purposely married someone smarter than me. So the first thing she did was she told me what the logo was, what the logo meant, where the logo came from, what the logo's for, and then on the back, she explained to me
Southern
what
Cross,
the pattern of what the stars
were. Excellent. Yep.
So she did good, and then of course, being the typical husband, I heard nothing she said and I forgot it all
because it's not important. I think
not right now. How is everything going, Josh?
Good, Dor. Very well, thank you. Had very hectic holiday season per usual, but everything is slowed down now, and we apologize for missing some shows, but that's kind of the way that it goes. And Ivor, thank you for the hat. I would prefer a South African rugby hat next time if you're buying, but I'll accept this for now.
Why would you want one of those?
Well, because they are World Cup champions after all.
Not for long.
I was going to say probably just because it would cost you some more money.
How about you, Dor? How you doing?
Christmas sucked. Because I'm a grown man, I'm near old age. Christmas isn't for me anymore. It's for the kids, it's for the wife. Just like Star Wars, people ask me if I went and saw Star Wars, to which I immediately answered, God no, what do you, stick with you. Those movies aren't made for me. Those movies aren't made for people who liked episode 4, 5, and 6. And then people got really mad at me when I said Baby Yoda is nothing more than Jar Jar Binks in the year 2019. Ooh. He's just a marketing gimmick. Oh, that cut them so deep. It felt so good. And then New Year's was entertaining. It was combination anniversary dinner for me and my wife and my sister-in-law's, birthday. So we took a bunch of people to dinner. 11 of us went to Fogo de Show. I was told is the correct way to pronounce it, where I used to call it Fogo de Chow, which is basically a carnivore's dream come true.
Oh yes. Yes, that's right. You mentioned that.
Yeah, fantastic food. And anyone who goes to the salad bar before the actual meal is a sucker.
Yeah, or gets a bunch of bread.
Yes, but they did serve these little balls of pastry, puffed dough, inside with melted cheese. The kids, as soon as the little bowl hit the table, less than a half a second later, it was emptied. The kids were like going crazy for that stuff.
That's a Brazilian joint?
It's supposed to be a Brazilian steakhouse. The words Fogo de Chao means ground fire. It's like supposed to be like how the meat is cooked. All the servers are at least supposed to be authentic Brazilian gauchos. I'm a incompetent, ignorant, white American male. For all I know, they're Puerto Rican,
Speaking of ground fires.
Yeah, I've had those.
Sorry, Josh. Speaking of ground fires, guess who gave up smoking today? Not Australia. Not Australia.
You.
Sorry, was that insensitive?
Not at all.
I missed something.
But I also will say that I did make it clear to these guys, this is the first show of the year. This should be one of the least stress-contained shows because no one has to struggle looking for apps. No one has to think about what was in the news this past week kind of thing. So we're just going to basically do like a review type show of last year and some predictions about what we think is going to be the future of these smart type devices. Ivor was apparently the only one who felt like it was necessary to do any work before the show. And you gathered some of our predictions from last year.
Yes, there are quite a few of them. I think we'll just go through the main ones. Yes, this was done in episode number 526, which I think was done on the 4th of January, 2019. We had Mark, Dora, and Eric there. And Mark's first prediction was that by December 31st, 2019, it would be illegal to use gender-based pronouns of any kind. So we're not quite there yet, but I think we're getting close. Dora, you made a prediction that phones would have 12 gigs of RAM and batteries will still suck. So you're almost right there. We're seeing a lot of phones with six or eight gig.
No. There are two phones out with 12 gigs of RAM. And batteries still completely suck. Yep.
5G technology will be nowhere. People will still be scrambling to be on it just so they can say they're on it. The hardware will cost a lot more money, which is absolutely right. You're bang on with that one. Eric was talking about glass going away as far as screens go. We're going into big screen TVs replaced by super bright LED Wi-Fi projectors that will interface with your phone. We haven't quite got there yet. I think actually something we can talk about later. I think TVs are dying the large screen. Day of the large screen is over.
TVs are for exactly, old people. Yep.
Mark was saying the Roku concept will take over the world. We'll replace your cable box and TiVo. I don't know.
I tell you, every single financial thing I listen to where they talk about Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix, all repetitively say how Roku is the most poised to completely dominate the market just because they don't show favorites. They allow any and everybody to stream on their product. Granted, they're still not really making a lot of profit, but they have the most promise.
Well, but that I agree with that, and I have an older Roku, but it wouldn't. I think it was Amazon Prime that it didn't have on it. Like in Canada here, it had a lot of restrictions, and so. But I do understand what you're saying as far as you know the Fire Stick and and Google fighting and you know just having that middle ground with the Roku. But I think that prediction is spot on as well as far as you know everyone's doing the cable cutting and
well
and,
except that it's connected to the big screen. So, you know, I think more and more there's going to be fewer big screens in people's homes. People just using their laptops or using their tablets or watching their phones.
Well, and I'll tell you, the biggest failing to me with Roku is, to be honest, the damn things never die. You don't really need to upgrade one every year, every 2 years, or every 4 years. I
bought one about 2 years ago. It's still working, and we use it all the time for movies and things like that. But,
on your big screen.
Well, the kids do, you know, sometimes. Okay. And then the next one was humans as a species, this is from Dore, will be losing even more measures of privacy and private data to big tech. I think, bang, spot on there as well, Dore. We've seen more and more loss of privacy and issues with Facebook have just continued. Eric's next big idea was exoskeletons. So we're all going to be walking around in exoskeletons. you could use one of those for your knee instead of having a knee operation, you reckon? Dore's next prediction was he on drugs? He must have been on drugs at the time. Dore's prediction, we're going to have a mild revolution in the treatment of certain diseases, development of microvirus treatments to cure certain things. I think we have seen a few things.
They have two, I know, successful use cases where I can't even remember the term now, where they took engineered viruses is the gimmick. And they were able to beat bacterial infections that were considered like super infections. And what they found out was, long story short, the more the bacteria becomes immune to these viruses, the less immune they come to our antibacterial medications and vice versa. When that we go crazy with the antibiotics, they become more vulnerable to these programmed viruses, is the best way to put it. So there's still, it hasn't done close to the progress I was hoping to, but they actually did make at least some progress.
Is that phage therapy you're talking about?
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard of
yeah,
that.
Right off the top of my head. Right off the top of my head. Didn't look at Wikipedia.
No Google at all.
No.
Man, these things are always 5 to 10 years away, and you know, 5 to 10 years later, they never seem to eventuate anyway. So, yeah.
Oh, like New Zealand winning the World Cup.
That was 5 years ago, actually. God, I've missed you, Josh. Okay, Mark's next prediction was that 2019 will be the year of the smartwatch. It won't be called a smartwatch, it'll be called a Fitbit or a Garmin or a brand name or something like that. He wasn't too wrong. Google actually bought Fitbit, didn't they?
They did,
but I predict nothing to come out of it. I believe they didn't buy it for anything to do with Fitbit. They bought it for their talent, just like they did with HTC, just like they did with
Motorola.
Has that gone through?
Sorry, Josh. Yeah.
Has that gone through yet, that sale? Like, wasn't that being held up for monopoly?
It wasn't for monopoly purposes, but I want to say the FCC or the Trade Commission has to approve it just because of the size of the purchase. All of the financial stuff I've been listening to says there's no doubt it's going to go through. The only question is going to be is, are they going to force them to relinquish some of their intellectual property stuff?
I'm sure they'll open source it.
Well, here's the dirty secret. As evil as some big companies are, Google and HP are the two companies that have at least relinquished voluntarily a lot of code and copyrights and trademarks into the open market. I would love it if the court would say, you know, you two companies can get together, but you have to release X amount into the open, into the free wild.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of growth to happen in the smartwatch business, particularly with Google, with Wear OS. I think that's going to improve.
Well, there's only one direction to go.
We can put a pin in this and come back to it later during predictions, possibly, Ivor.
Okay, so the next one was actually my prediction from the chat room at the time. Microsoft gets back into the mobile phone business. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Spot on, bro.
And Door adds it will be an Android-based phone, 10 out of 10. And you also mentioned the folding PC that they're going to come out with as well. So, wow, we were spot on, weren't we? Hit the nail on the head.
We need you to do this more often, Ivor. Here's the thing. If you noticed, my predictions in hindsight were much less risque. Eric's were completely
exoskeletons. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, no one's going to remember my predictions in 3 years. But if Eric's predictions would have came true, people would have been like, "Everyone's wearing exoskeletons," and he called it.
He knew it.
Yeah, exoskeleton by Fit.
I hope he didn't invest in any exoskeleton startups. Okay. No. So your next prediction, Door, was that we're going to see the public display of Fuchsia. It will not be a phone, but it will probably replace the home hub. What were you thinking then?
I'll say this. I wasn't completely off. They insisted it was not a phone operating system, but it was a appliance operating system. And they didn't really show it off. They just, like, you know, it's like when you see a topless woman from the side kind of thing. It isn't like, you know, full frontal.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that sounds like something Ivor would say.
Okay. Next one was China versus South Korea. We will see a continuation of the war of economies between China and South Korea. USA will reap the benefit of a cost reduction from competition.
Tariffs went crazy. Samsung personally has been known to visit the White House to encourage these tariffs. Where on the opposite, Tim Cook has also been known to visit the White House trying to say that we shouldn't have these tariffs because that would mean iPhone prices would go up. The number one beneficiary from all this chatter between China-US has been South Korea, and they continue to reap the benefits.
Samsung, I think, is on the decline, and we're not seeing any other manufacturing coming out of South Korea. It's all coming out of China.
They're all just one conglomerate. They own the entire country, and I would say they only have one way to go, and I said this 2 or 3 years ago. they only have one way to go, and that's down, because they're the number one company, but they're still, I think, number one. So I do think they went down, but not enough. They're still up there.
Okay, Dore then predicted that Android and Chrome OS would be further converging over time, even though we'll probably suffer because of it. Chrome OS and Chrome laptops will keep selling well. Chrome OS tablets will continue to unbelievably stumble and be unsuccessful. Well, you called that one. That was the Pixel slate all over, wasn't it?
I know, but I still want a Chrome tablet to be successful. I really do, because I think it's really useful and functional. But it literally has to be like an $80 device.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's literally half the hardware.
The Kindle tablet was so popular, isn't it? It was just a very simple device and very cheap.
Yeah, and like Chromebooks are still completely killing it. But I will say, on the complete inverse, Chrome boxes are still almost, unknown.
Mark then said that Microsoft will release a phone, and he was right there, but he said it will be a Chromium phone. So we've yet to see, I think, when the phone's coming out, but he could be right.
They said this year, 2020.
Yeah, but
when they said third quarter, 2020.
We'll wait for the third quarter to see what system it is actually running. But I think it will just be a standard Android with a Microsoft launcher on it.
They've already unveiled certain standards for their apps, for their Android apps, which are going to try to make the Android look more like organized, like they all look the same kind of thing.
Dore then went into a rant on progressive web apps. They'll be the backbone to a system. Like that would be key.
Let's go to the next prediction.
Dore, you know what? Don't write that one off yet.
Well, you did say there'll be an insane boost.
You're ahead of your time.
You did say there'll be an insane boost to the idea of PWAs, and they will make substantial headway toward the end of 2020. So we've still got another year to see if that actually turns out. Eric then wishes that Google would get stock Android to work properly. He's got problems with Google Now lagging. Google Keyboard is horrible. Project Fi support is crappy. He was just hoping they'll sort all that out before the end of the year. I don't know. Are you guys still having problems with this sort of stuff?
No. OnePlus still does a cleaner, smoother, what looks to be more vanilla Android than Google.
Is that their Oxygen OS? Yeah,
exactly.
Next one was machine learning. This was Dore's. Machine learning and AI will not progress 1% of anything. I don't know what you meant there.
I mean, seriously, do you notice any drastic improvements in anything you do with unassisted computing?
Well, it is helping out with things like mammograms, and they're starting to see some advances in the...
No. Do you?
No.
Okay, and the dirty secret is, whether it's facial recognition, fingerprint recognition, any of that, there's no computer making the final call. Same thing with the mammogram thing. They don't tell you that.
Yeah,
Johns Hopkins, don't forget, the number one hospital in the world, it was less than 20 miles from my front door. I know people that work there that tell me that all of those studies you hear about, they're all finalized by humans, not by computers.
Yeah. Lawyers use them as well.
So
they get machine learning to check all the legal stuff, and then they get a human to check it makes sense, and that's, there it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and like as far as my Google Maps, as far as my Google Now, as far as any type of interactions like that, I see little improvement. I'm sure it's improved, but I see little improvement. I still sometimes have to just repeat the same question 3 or 4 times over because I'm not using the correct verbiage.
Yep.
And that is definitely more of a general AI machine learning. But, you know, where the rubber meets the road to the end user, we still have Teslas killing people using these kind of algorithms. We still don't have universal self-driving cars anywhere. We still don't have AI taking over anybody's jobs. I still think it's fluffery.
It's got a long
way to go.
I think
we're going to make progress this year, but it's still
a long way to go.
Yeah.
Next, this is the last one. Sorry. All of the bars on technology will continue to be lowered. Coding barriers, application development, publishing, PWAs again, which will allow everybody from any culture to produce applications like Be My Eyes, which nearly 2 million people volunteered to help on. People like doing good and helping each other. Barriers of entry will be coming down along with allowing a bunch more people to create, particularly in small communities and groups. I think you're actually spot on there, Dore. That was a bloody good prediction. I think it's
I hate to say
adequate for this year as well and for the rest of the decade.
Well, it's just one of the consistent things over time. The barriers of entries, I hate to say it, have to keep coming down because in general, we're people in countries who have the freedom to be as stupid as they want to be are taking full advantage of it. So we have to lower the barrier of entry so stupid people can still do stuff.
There's idiocracy again.
It's a documentary.
I like Starbucks.
All in all, I thought that was a pretty good set of predictions. You guys made some very accurate predictions for the year. Hopefully we can do just as good this year.
Well, I'll first stop and ask you guys, what in 2019 did you think was significant or nobody could have seen it happen, but yet, you know, this kind of things were happening, whether it be mobile computing, Android, or just, you know, small form factor type computing?
I think that one of the biggest surprises is Ivor and myself being on this show. And, you know, I would like to just take a second to say I really, 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 really miss Eric and Mark.
Yeah, it's much easier to sit back in the chat room and make comments.
Yeah, it really is too. I was much more comfortable sitting in the tub than in this chair. But going forward, hopefully we will get better. Well, especially Ivor.
Yeah, I've got a long way to go. But... Yeah. My accent, no one can understand it.
It's that Australian accent.
I think the big surprise for 2019 was the wrist tablet. Me, that's got to go down in history as I think the
got to go down something. Probably
the quintessential device that people will eventually not be able to live without. Well, sorry, were you hoping we would be serious there for a minute, Dor?
I thought that an interesting story was the Huawei Android fight.
Yeah. No one saw that coming.
And I think that is going to be, well, all that's part of my predictions later, but I think that is a major storyline in mobile computing for sure.
And I thought the folding phone was probably 2019's biggest development.
Yeah, I mean, even though there wasn't a large number of sales or anything, yeah. I do think the impression of them impacted the industry so much to where now, in the very beginning of 2020, I want to say there's technically two or three on the market that we could buy. And this year alone, there's already like three or four on the way to coming. I don't think I've seen, it's a drastic innovation, I'll say first and foremost, but I don't think I've seen that type of drastic thing being picked up as fast as this in the past.
No, it's been very popular, but certainly has some issues with durability, and it's expensive, obviously. But I like the way Motorola is going with it. Just needs a bigger battery and better screen, and I think that the next version of the Motorola would be a lot better than the first.
I would say that one of the most annoying stories or just things that kept popping up is the infatuation with dark mode, because I couldn't care less. Well, but every other story is about dark mode.
Well, I don't know if it happened to you guys, but with me in the last 2 weeks, if I open up my Google Play at night, it's automatically in dark mode and I can't disable it.
Sometimes dark mode is good. If you're lying in bed at night and you want to look at something on your phone, dark mode is quite useful.
See, that's where I'm weird. I might be an addict, but my phone stays downstairs and gets plugged up to the wall or just down on the kitchen table when I go up to bed. Because I don't care if you call me at 3 a.m., I never want to hear the damn thing.
That's why you never pick up when I call you at 3 a.m.
It's 3 a.m. To me, there's only very few things this past year that I don't think people were completely ready for, like the budget Pixel device. I think it was a very, very, very welcome change. Instead of trying to be the Apple, you know, $1,000+ device, it was pleasant to see them actually put a budget phone out there. I think they're not going to really nail the concept of a budget phone this year. They don't. It is still too soon. It takes around 18 to 24 months for a phone to go from imagination to being a deliverable product. So it's going to still take some more time. The only other things I'll say that I didn't foresee in 2019 was the absolute lack of Android properly pushing things away from vendor control. Like we were promised early in 2019 that Android was going to be slowly reinventing itself to push all these applications down to the service level to where they could be upgraded via Google Play. And you wouldn't have to rely on the vendor to give you these big bulky updates. And we've seen very minimal progress as far as I'm concerned with that, considering it's a multi-billion dollar company that could literally buy small countries. The speed of change for that has been remarkably slow, like pathetically slow.
That's the last one on my list for 2019 was the, so you said that Ivor didn't, or that he actually prepared for this. I wrote a list, Dor, like at least 5 minutes before we started.
So I'm the slacker. I got it.
But for me, it was all the increase in instant apps, which are, I think, is going to be going forward a major thing. And I don't even remember seeing it until just even recently, where you look at something on the CBC to bring it localized, and it says, do you want to open this in an instant app instead of downloading the app? So I think that...
So is like the CBC like two steps down from CBD oil or something?
No, it's two steps down from BBC.
Which is?
British Broadcasting Corporation. So CBC is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Ah, don't you know?
It's like the motherland, but for Canada. I think that it might have even been 2018 when instant apps came about. Yeah, is that sound about right?
Yeah, I do believe it was late 2018, and I knew about them the whole time. You know what I mean? I knew about them the whole time. You had to be a very specific niche in the first like 8 months to even be aware they were in existence. You literally had to visit things like Wish. You had to search for like wish.com, and then it would load as an instant app. There was only like a couple more. Only in the last couple months have I seen a couple more. But Google, I don't think, has prioritized them enough in the search engine, because sometimes I see the first choice to be install the application, not run the instant app.
Yeah.
Well, then I will make that my first prediction of 2020, is that instant apps will become more prevalent. And a word that everyone smarter than me likes to use, ubiquitous.
It's better than ignominious. I think one thing that is going to take off is stuff like this. This is the Lenovo Smart Display, which I bought for my wife as a Christmas present. It's a really, really nice piece of kit, actually. It's quite well put together. It's got the inbuilt Google Assistant. It acts as a Bluetooth speaker as well, so you can play your music through it. And it has a USB plug, so you can charge your devices from it at the back there, turn the microphone off. And everything. I really like, I'm going to get one for myself as well. This one is for the wife. But I think things like this are going to become more and more popular as they begin to produce, you know, more and more higher quality and perhaps lower price devices. Have you got the Home Hub, anyone?
No, but it's interesting that you'd put that up there, coming from a guy that said Lenovo makes crap hardware.
I should mean by saying there and say that Lenovo makes crap phones, right? That's what I meant. I actually own a Lenovo tablet. I used to own a tablet and a Lenovo laptop, so I'm not totally against Lenovo. But if Google made one of these, I'd buy it probably.
Yeah, I will say those kinds of things I think will increase only because the ever-failing tablet market has to go somewhere.
Well, they're also very good for blind people and disabled people who need to do things with their voice. So, like, I was been looking at vacancies for volunteer roles lately, and one of the volunteer roles that came up was helping blind people set up their smart devices so that they can talk to them and make them work properly. So I think certainly if you're blind or disabled, then these devices are going to be very handy.
So what is the difference between that and like an Alexa or the Google Home?
Well, this will tell you, basically it's an alarm clock. So you just talk to it and say, wake me up at 8:30 or wake me up at 6:30 or something. And it will set an alarm for you. You can set time, anything you can do with the Google Assistant. It's just got the Google Assistant baked in, basically. You can also have a slideshow of your photos. So it interfaces with your Google Photos. You can have a slideshow of all your photos that you don't normally look at. You can have them on your coffee table or dresser table. And I mainly use it as a speaker to play podcasts and music through. It's actually a very good speaker.
And how much does that run?
This cost me 108 New Zealand. So it was about $80 US. Yeah. But they'll be on special throughout the year, I think.
Yeah. You can get one off eBay for around $40 to $50. You want one brand spanking new, $70 to $80.
I wish it was a bit bigger though.
Which I will say I do believe is cheaper than any of the Google products except for the Home Mini.
Actually, I got this from Best Buy and their eBay shop. So it was quite surprising.
Yeah. Two of my monitors I got from the Best Buy eBay shop, I will say, they have some crazy sales once in a while when they're just clearing out inventory on certain items. So that is actually a good thing to follow, in my opinion.
Didn't even know they had one.
And I'll say this, for the rest of 2019, I will say, I don't think anybody really, I mean, if one of my predictions, and if I go back in time, if I would have said, I wouldn't have been shocked by saying it was the ever nonstop expansive Chinese and Asian companies just impeding on everyone's market. Xiaomi, Oppo, Redmi, all of them just gaining ground. We have Huawei and the Kirin chipset becoming ultra competitive with the Snapdragon chipset. We also have the MediaTek processors becoming really competent. Where like 2 years ago, they were considered the junky jank processor you would get in the $30 tablet kind of thing. I don't know if anyone really could have saw the progress they would make this past year. And to be honest, every device they sell, they then reinvest it, I think, very smartly in just bettering themselves as a company. So I think in the next coming, like if this past year is any indicator, expect there to be more and more Chinese phones visible on American and first world streets.
Well, Josh, you just bought a new Redmi Note 8, didn't you? Is that for you? Or
That's for my wife, okay. Yeah, it just came today. So I'll give a review of that maybe coming up. But Dor, you definitely stole one of my predictions for 2020, and that is that there will be more of these Chinese phones that will become, for the second time, ubiquitous.
Pete Barini in the chat room is saying he bought a Nest security cam and Google threw in a free Home Hub. So, yeah, I think they're actually going to throw stuff like that into deals with bigger pieces of hardware.
Right, yeah, and I'll say, looking back on 2019, to me, there really wasn't a lot. I mean, if I want to talk about small form factor computer and Android computers, one of the things that I'm honestly happy with is, and this is just tangential, is the quality of classic gaming emulation on all these small form factor computers. It has gotten remarkably better, and we've seen first-party companies release emulated platforms and systems running games that have really like made the whole market much more competitive. A stupid prediction, just general microcomputer kind of thing, is within 3 to 4 years, we old people will be able to more accurately emulate our classic gaming experiences with really good controls, with really good looking and feeling systems that will be much more closer to the authentic experience at a completely ridiculous fraction of the price. And don't be shocked if 9 out of 10 of those devices are running Android.
Now that you mention retro games software, I think we're going to see a return of the arcade. We're going to, because I went into a Burger King the other day to get my lunch, and there was like a full-on arcade there. There was the racing games you sit down in, the basketballs you throw, and all the games we used to play as kids in the arcade. I think we're going to see a lot more of those in places like hairdressers. We're going to see pinball tables. They're getting more and more popular now. They're coming back. I think the arcade's going to take off the next couple of years. Maybe not this year, but maybe in 2-3 years' time, they're going to be big again. You're going to be able to get a single board computer, plug it into an old stand, and play all your old games on it.
Well, even that retro experience without the emulation, I see that as well. There is down in Victoria, British Columbia, there is a brewery, and part of the ambiance there is that it's an arcade and a brewery, an old school arcade and a brewery. So get things like that, and I mean I wish they would have had that when I was a kid. Yeah, I'll tell you that much.
Well, yes, and I'll say this: here's to me at least out on a little bit of a limb prediction about this exact kind of thing. I do think you're exactly right, Ivor, but I think the end result is going to be a little bit different than what anybody would expect it to be right now. And what I mean is, like, here's a good example. There's actually an arcade cabinet, I believe it's an arcade cabinet called Killer Queen Black. Okay. You walk up to that machine. I believe it's at most 4 players at the same time, right? But the gimmick is it's actually a network connected arcade machine that when you put your quarter in, if you're the only one who puts a quarter in, you're automatically connected with 3 other players around the world and you're playing multiplayer, even if there's nobody local to you playing. Here's the other hook. The number one team that's doing the best in the world is live streamed on Twitch on this company's main website. So they've taken the idea of an arcade cabinet mixed with home console PC gaming, mixed with competitive online showcasing of talent, and they've melded it in such a way. Also, with the advent of Stadia that comes out, there's no reason why a company cannot have a custom cabinet running a very cheap, low-end computing device streaming Stadia for pennies a month, racking in money and money and money doing game type systems, because now we can literally have an arcade system where we have network play. Without sounding dumb, 5G, when it becomes everywhere, the amount of little lag will enable me to be able to play competitive games with people around the world like they're in the same room I'm in. So I do believe there's going to be, I don't know if they're going to be called arcades, but there will be local hubs of multiplayer gaming where you go for competition and camaraderie. and amenities of whatever is legal in that local
area. Lots of
area.
Fried food.
Mm-hmm. Finger food, yes. Mozzarella sticks. Yeah.
Health food.
Well, I've got a prediction as well. So last year we predicted that Microsoft would release a phone and a tablet. My prediction is that that phone and that tablet will totally flop. No one is going to buy them. Maybe some businesses will buy them.
Oh, yeah. Anybody I see on the street corner, in a restaurant, or at work, and I look at the back of the phone and I see that Surface icon, I'm making fun of them publicly. Because Microsoft, there's a reason why the Xbox is called the Xbox, and it isn't, big letters Microsoft Xbox, because Microsoft is not cool, never has been cool, never will be cool. They literally should just call it the Surface phone and give it its own logo and icon and not the Windows icon.
Absolutely. Yep.
I think that in 2020 there will be an increase in Android alternatives, not just the Huawei, but I think that other companies will be coming out with alternative operating systems for phones, and I think that Linux will take a step forward as well.
So do you think there would be different distributions of Android as there are with Linux, or do you think Linux will move into phones?
Linux will move into phones. I don't think there could ever be as many distros of, there's almost 600 distros of Linux right now. So baby steps, but I think that it'll be, I think that once it becomes more available, I'm hoping that all the nerds out there will start hacking away and make something that's reliable and functional.
Well, I've got to say, first off, that's not a prediction, because literally that's like saying January the 2nd, 2020 will exist. We already have YouTube videos of the Pine phone up and running, and they show it off running 4 different operating systems. The guy, and the link will be in the notes to this, the guy showing it off admits, you know, some of this stuff doesn't work perfectly. Some of this stuff doesn't work great on this one distribution operating system. I couldn't get Wi-Fi to work. This is literally like you're seeing the house being built. It doesn't resemble a house yet, but you can see walls coming up. You can see entryways kind of thing. That's what this video basically to me showcases. It shows that the idea of a Linux phone is much more plausible, believable, tangible, physical than ever before.
Will it be commercially successful? Is it going to get the numbers?
Doesn't matter. Okay. No, it doesn't matter. The first of nothing is successful. The first portable MP3 player was a colossal flop. The first record player, you can't tell me who made it. The first VCR was not made by Sony. They were
made
all
by Betamax.
They were all ridiculous. No, that was Sony. There was nobody who did something first that was ever commercially viable or successful. It isn't supposed to be. If it was, they would charge $1,000 for it. This is just trying to get devices in people's hands to make them more comfortable with the idea of this being an actual device. This company is not trying to make money. Again, it's $150 for a phone that really passes for a phone you could have bought a year and a half to 3 years ago. Running something that's incredibly lighter than Android, because I've said this for years, and most Linux and a huge amount of the Android podcast don't even understand how computers actually work. Android is not Android. Android is Java. Java eats RAM for lunch. You need maximum RAM for maximum performance. That's why I said that the 12 gig phone will become real, because it has to, because Android becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. With Linux, you could literally have a phone with 2 gigs of RAM and it will easily outperform a Android device with 8 gigs of RAM. This phone isn't supposed to be commercially viable. It's just supposed to be hacker friendly and to get people interested in the concept and idea. And this device is real. It is already being sold. They've already started to ship developer versions of the phone. They expect by March to actually sell finalized
versions. But do you think there will come a tipping point where people will be opting for the Linux phone before they go for Android or before they go for an iPhone? Will they be on the shop on the Display 4 alongside Samsung and alongside Apple?
No, because Display 4s won't exist then. With human beings, pendulums have to drastically go one way for it to come back equally and hard in the other direction. We first, as a society, as human beings, have to become incredibly violently ill with the idea of privacy being lost for us to have that pendulum swing back equally in the opposite direction and demand free Libra open source devices that protect our privacy. So it can happen, but first things have to get a lot worse.
And for the record, Dor, I was not predicting a Linux phone. I was predicting the evolution thereof and a more common. I think it's going to take off. That's my prediction.
I would like to say you're right. I don't know. I believe it's going to be niche popular, but I don't know.
But like you said, though, I mean, you're right. Java is just a pig, and you can take a 15-year-old laptop and run a Linux distribution on it and have it purr like a kitten. You know, I've put Linux on computers and they've run better than they did when they were new running Windows.
Well, here's here's the only comparison I could think of. How long do you think the Raspberry Pi was mentioned on morning shows or, you know, was mentioned by sellout people who only care about commercials and pushing product down your nose for a paycheck? How long was the Raspberry Pi out before it was literally like commercially successful? And that to me product had a lot of things going for it. I want to say it was almost 3 years.
But I think I see your point, but I think that is one of the reasons why this could be successful, is because of the success of single board computers and the fact that they run Linux. So it's people actually know what you mean now when you say, well, I mean, some people when you say Linux, and I don't know the answer specifically to that question, but I would say it was probably about 4 years. I think the first Raspberry Pi was, 2012? And it was probably 2016 before it started getting mainstream, 2017.
You had the intense first adopters who would play with it and you know, the guys who like to tinker with that sort of stuff. Then you get the second tranche come along and they start playing with it as well, and gradually it builds up steam. And it takes a good 3 to 5 years before any real market segment is created from it.
Yeah, like what I can feel safe in predicting, like ultra safe, you know, this is the kind of prediction we're in 2021. Yeah, of course. We will see dramatic improvements in what is available on this Lennox phone. And trust me, we will see another Lennox phone this year that is under $1,000 or under $2,000, unlike the Prism device. We are going to see another company come out with a genuine Lennox phone. I don't know who it is, but what we're going to see is a dramatic improvement in the quality of applications running on the phone. I'm not saying it's going to be competitive with anybody, but what I am saying, it's like the law of diminishing returns. Okay. The lowest end processor costs X amount of dollars. For pennies more, you get dramatic improvement in quality. Okay. But then as you get by the very peak top of the spectrum, you start to have to pay a lot more money for a little bit of improvement. Okay. We're in the bottom half, the bottom quarter, the bottom tenth of that scale, where we are going to see dramatic improvement in what's available on these devices. It doesn't mean it's even going to be competitive with somebody else, but it's going to be better. And here's the real dirty secret. If you get in this ecosystem now, A, you're going to have the opportunity to make an impression on people who are making actual changes so your input can make things better in what you believe makes things better, number one. Number two, you can become a actual treasured person in the community for either stirring up support, stirring up development, or just helping things move forward. And then three, when this does become commercially viable, you are going to be considered a SME, a SME, a subject matter expert. It will achieve some manner of success, but I hate to say it, it literally could take up to 6 years for this to actually be a product that you see on the streets.
Maybe this is the use case for the PWAs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, A, they would drastically benefit from it, but here's the real true benefit from it. I guarantee you guys this. I will see this type of device with my own eyes on the streets before you guys for one reason alone. Nothing can offer you more security than an operating system where you as a company president or whatever can have root access, ring zero access, that the power to control everything on the device. And I have a handy dandy little three letter company, AKA agency, down the street from me named the NSA. So there's little doubt when these types of devices start to mature, even begin to mature, they will be giving them out to their employees like free cheese.
Well, that and the fact that you live in the United States and I live in Canada and Ivor lives in New Zealand, so we don't see tech for at least 3 years after it actually comes out.
That and I don't get out of the house much.
Yeah, it's two of us.
Well, I'll just say this. Right now, in January 2020, you will see Lennox phones in third world countries before you see them in first world countries.
That'll be a key thing to get into India. If they can get some good Lennox phones into India.
There's already Lennox phones are already in the top three sales in Africa and India.
I mean, they're pretty good battery life too, don't they?
They look like nothing we would consider to be a modern phone. They look like almost old Blackberries, where at the bottom they have physical keyboards with like the number pads and stuff.
Well, when it comes down to it, I mean, is Android not Linux anyway? You break it all the way down, it runs the Linux kernel. So
it is in the exact same way that Apple is BSD.
Unix, yeah.
Yeah, BSD. It is, but can you notice it? Can you recognize it? It's like if your friend comes to you and says, hey, look at this hot girl I met, and you clearly see an Adam's apple. Only because you're educated enough to see it. When a lot of people look at Mac OS X, they don't see BSD. I'm just saying. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, Dor. You're just we'll stop there.
Well, look, just because I know if I load up a Android phone and I open up a command prompt and I type certain commands, it actually works. I know then it's Linux. But to the average person who buys that Samsung device and plays Candy Crush all day, do you really think they have any idea that it's Linux? They can't see the Adam's apple right in front of
them. You only have to miss the Adam's apple once.
Eddie Murphy learned that, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, time out.
Should we stop the feed?
No, Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I haven't watched that damn show for over a decade because it's horrible. Eddie Murphy almost brought life back into that show is what I'll say. And I'm not a huge Eddie Murphy fan in any way. But also, he then mentioned the fact that he did a special, he did a thing on Netflix literally called Dolomite Is My Name. If you guys don't know who Dolomite is, I'm sorry. He was a superstar in the days of the black exploitation film genre is what I'll say. He was up for a Golden Globe or something for this Dolomite Is My Name. If you like Eddie Murphy whatsoever at all, you need to watch Dolomite Is My Name. It's not a pure comedy. It's the kind of thing that falls into no one type of a genre. But I will say this. Eddie Murphy did actual, genuine acting in it. I'm not going to say he did fantastic, but he did actual acting. And I actually think he did pretty damn good. Entertaining.
I have another prediction for 2020 and maybe a few years after that. Finally, hopefully, it's more a wish than a prediction. Hopefully, VR and AR will die. The amount of money and development that's going into these VR products that have gone absolutely nowhere and will never go anywhere. They're a cute fad, just like 3D TV, but they're getting out. They're going. It's gone. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and my son just asked for a Oculus Quest for Christmas, and he got it.
Wow, okay.
And I literally had to, I said, well, I don't understand why you're getting this. Do you understand by Christmas 2020, you're not going to be able to buy anything for it?
Well, I think he won't play it anymore.
No, every day he comes home and plays it till the battery dies, plugs it back up, plays it till the battery dies. Plugs it back up. Tries to like sneak and stay up past, 1 in the morning every night playing it.
Is that the same son that got the Nintendo Switch Lite?
No, that's the younger boy. Well, I got a belt. Yeah.
To use on the younger boy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And after this, to me, the key indicator, the KPI, the key progress indicator, just how bad VR is going to completely fail is, remember 2 years ago at CES, 3 years ago at CES, 3D televisions were everywhere. Then the next year, they were almost nowhere. And then the year after that, nobody had a single one.
It's all 4K and 8K TVs.
This past
8K TVs are going to die as well.
Right. Well, this past year at E3, there was not a single company showing anything off in the realm of VR. And the year before that, there was plenty of people showing off VR stuff. VR is a novelty. Okay. It's like the steering wheel and pedals you buy to play a racing game. And by you, yes, I'm talking about you, that one person out there that actually buys it. So you'll be able to buy VR, but no company is going to be investing anything to progress the technology because there's not enough people buying it. AR is the place where I do think there are going to be ways to make progress, but it is not going to be easy. And I think it's going to take a little bit
more
time.
I think there's going to be technology that will come out of VR and AR development that will be significant to other products later on. But I don't think VR and AR are the main piece of cheese.
I think I disagree with both of you. I think the AR, I think we're ahead of our time. It's going to be one of those things. I mean, what is going to replace it? I think that is the ultimate, well, as far as like gaming and things like that, to immerse yourself into this virtual reality. I think that we don't have that technology yet, so it probably will crash and burn. But I think in the future, it will be something that is huge.
I'm going to take a guess and say you're a fan of Ready Player One.
I've never even seen it.
Okay,
watching the castle too much.
But I mean, well, when I think of, it's like the holodeck.
Yeah.
Engage.
Well, that's the thing about it. If you really want to use it to its utmost capacity, you have to have a whole separate room where you can all be set up with it, and you know, people, unless you got a lot of money, you don't have that. Right. Something you can plug in.
Right, but that's virtual reality, though. I think that that's what I meant by the going forward. You know, it might not be in the next 10, 20 years even, but it will be. My prediction is in 30 years, it'll be a thing. 2050, baby.
I'll just say this. If somebody has the secret goal of making America the most healthy country that ever existed in the history of the universe, if you guys haven't seen the circular treadmill, but they make the circular treadmill an affordable thing and then put billions of dollars investing in 3D games, virtual games.
Isn't that for hamsters?
No, the circular treadmill is basically, it is a circle treadmill. You have a ring around your waist. You have supports around your waist so you can't go too far. The treadmill can run in any direction. It's a circle treadmill. You can run in any direction. So quite literally, if you're playing PUBG or Fortnite and you have to run from one side of the area to the other, you literally have to run from one side to the other.
That's exactly why it's going to fail. That will because... Well, the best people who play these games are covered in Cheeto dust and are about 40 pounds overweight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you come out with that and make it commercially viable and affordable for every family in the United States to at least approach buying one, we will have the most healthy generation of people in this country that have ever existed, because we have money to spare on all kinds of stupid things in this country. And all it takes is our kids to ask us to buy one and us to think, well, that'll be a little more healthy. And then we would buy it and our kids would turn out to be Olympic athletes that would make anybody look like scrubs these days.
Well, they have I saw it's a stationary bicycle and it has, I think the way that I understood it was that you basically do a bike race against other people and that's a big screen. Blah, blah, blah.
That's kind of like comparing the physical world to SpongeBob cartoon.
I'd much rather be in SpongeBob.
The Peloton bike is...
Peloton, nice. It even sounds stupid.
It is the person who requires a gimmick in order to just do general exercises. Where the circular treadmill is like, it's literally hardcore gaming. Because quite literally, the better of an athlete you are, who needs lag? When I don't need to worry about, is my lag quicker than yours or less than yours, when I can literally outrun you.
There was just a commercial for it, I suppose. I believe it was. And there was an actor from Vancouver that was in this commercial. And he took all sorts of flack because he had given, in the commercial, he had given his wife an exercise bike for Christmas. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So
good. That was just brilliant marketing because they made people talk about it either way.
Yeah. People are triggered so easily.
Yeah. Honestly, my prediction when it comes to Android in 2020 is it's became so mundane and boring. As far as Android is concerned, we're going to see very, very little progress. I will say things like the Google Play Pass, I will be incredibly shocked if it's still a thing at the end of 2020, because unlike other Android podcasts, I have no problem telling you the selection of applications are near putrid and are near poisonous. They're so bad. Maybe 1 out of 10 of the games and apps are worth any of your time. I say that, and we have suggested over 3,000 applications and games in this show, which means we suggest a lot of stuff we don't even have time to use ourselves. And I tell you, 8 to 9 out of 10 of things on the Google Play Pass are not worth your time downloading. They really aren't. So to charge money per each month for people to have the privilege to have access to these apps is horrible. And they're doing an equally horrible job advertising this as well. So they're going to either need to pivot, completely pivot, not 360 degrees because then you're back at the same place, but pivot 180 degrees into the complete opposite direction, get genuine good developers on board, genuine good applications, genuine good app, you know, games on board, and then literally push this thing like it's a narcotic, or else it's going to die. It's going to fail.
Well, is it available anywhere except the U.S. still?
Yeah.
If it is, you'll be dumb to get it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, you know I'm stupid, so.
Yeah, but the wider question here is the reason why are these apps so bad? What is the reason you've got these massive millions of apps that are absolute rubbish? It's because of the platform that Google operates on. It's get the app.
No, not at all.
It's all about money.
Nope.
Get the app so it can serve ads. The app is designed to do is serve ads.
No, because you have absolute mental invalids with PhDs doing editor's picks. Have you ever looked at the editor's picks? Most of them don't have contains ads. If it was about ads, every one of those editor's picks would have ads.
The bad apps are all designed solely to deliver advertising. They don't care about the quality of the game. They don't care about the quality of the experience or the UI. Well, they only care about serving up the ad. And that's where Google's got to change its platform.
No. Every app is just targeted to make money by any means necessary, to quote Malcolm X. They don't care about ads by any means necessary.
Yeah, money. It's about money. Yeah.
That's why a huge percentage of the apps don't just have ads. They have ads and in-app purchases because they don't care as long as they can make money.
So every app you see is just like the last one. All they want to do is either serve you an ad or get you to buy something for your character that you're playing in that particular game, but it's exactly the same game as the last one. There's a huge quality issue in the App Store, and that's...
Well, no, everywhere. No, not the App Store. On the Apple platform, on the Xbox platform, on the PlayStation platform, on Comcast platform, on Netflix platform, on Hulu Plus, they all have crap. It isn't just Google Play.
Oh, there's a lot on Google Play as well. So,
Well, of course, there is. Yeah, everywhere. But
and I'll say there are always exceptions to the rule, and there's always things that are following the rule exactly. You have stuff like Stardew Valley, where the guy is literally one guy. So he doesn't need to charge crazy amount of money or have in-app purchases like crazy. He sells his stuff for a reasonable price. He's unbelievably successful at what he does, and he is on the Google Play Pass. But then you have all these icons of games with men with their mouth open, you know, doing like Candy Crush type grinding, where they insist you nonstop give them micropayments. And to be honest, micropayments have invaded every platform. What I fear is the next generation of console games streaming down to you, like in the background, if it's a driving game, billboards with ads depending on your social context. So you would see ads for a person in your age bracket from New Zealand. I play the same game. I get ads for a person in my age bracket in Baltimore, Maryland. That's what I fear is going to happen in games.
I have a question for you, Ivor. You said that the platform is broken. How do you fix it?
Well, you've got to change the incentives, don't you? So right now there's a...
likes and retweets?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. We're seeing a resurgence now of games that are actually really high quality, but you just pay one fee up front. And it's a high fee. It's like you pay $15, like Stardew Valley. You pay $7 or $8 for that up front. Or you pay a certain amount every year. And they're actually very good quality games. They don't serve you ads, and they're actually fun to play. They're actually very well developed and designed. So you've got to somehow get those apps that are not there solely to serve you ads. You've got to find some way in the algorithms to push them up to people's attention first, rather than the tons of crap apps that are just being produced by massive app development shops in India or the third world.
Sounds like something for AI.
Well, I'm going to paraphrase Milton Friedman, Nobel Prize winning economist, who said you have to make it politically profitable for the wrong people to make the right decisions. To say, well, the problem is Google or Android, we need somebody new to come on board. You obviously are, if you, the listener, thinks that's the answer, you're obviously completely ignorant to history in the past. Power corrupts ultimately. Ultimate power corrupts completely. We have to make it profitable. And I don't mean money, but we have to make it profitable for companies to make the right decisions by us, which means we have to be willing to openly complain to companies, not just click activism kind of complaints, but we need to actually complain to companies, and we need to actually vote with our dollar. If we find a game that we think is genuinely good, but they won't stop having these inline, in-app purchases grinding away, A, hit pause. Contact the developer. It's in the Google Play link right there to contact the developer. Let them know your feelings, and then go spend the time to find a game that's like that, that respects you more.
We have to vote with our dollar. I've been playing Seaport for now for about a year and a half on the same game, and that game gets it. It offers you a play-to-win option. You can spend as much money as you want to buy all sorts of things, but you've also got an option where you can do it completely free. My wife is up to level 700 in Candy Crush. She hasn't spent a dime on that game. And I have spent very little on Seaport as well, and I'm up to level 400 or something. So, you know, it's that with those games that respect the player, who give them the option of play to win or pay to win or grind away for free if you want to do that.
Well, where do you put the onus on the consumer or the customer? I mean, it's a platform. It's a pretty open platform. So if you download something and it's garbage, uninstall it. It's not, you know, I don't know how you or anyone can expect the actual platform. You know,
a lot of people downloading these games and these crap applications are kids. And they don't pick up the difference between a really good app and a one that's designed to rob them blind. So you have to be very careful about what your kids are installing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say I am a person who is pretty much anti-regulation in the most broad sense of the word, because I don't like the idea of somebody else telling us what to do and what not to do. But here's the gimmick. The main reason I'm anti-regulation is because it's government controlled. So here's where this comes into play. This is where you have to have trusted custodians of content, you know, kind of like an Android App Addicts podcast, where you basically cannot trust the platform to make the right decisions for you, the consumer. They are ultimately beholden to their shareholders to maximize profit, period. We have to become aware of independent parties who are doing their own curation of content. And I do think 2020 will be the year of curation kind of thing. And I don't know what it's going to look like. That's the whole thing. I cannot tell you this is what it's going to look like at the end of 2020, but we're going to have better defined silos of independent people offering curation, whether it be curation of news, articles, apps, games, content trees, videos, podcasts, or whatever. I do believe independent curation is the kind of thing that can help ecosystems to be better, because you need somebody who's looking out for both you and Google. You know what I mean? I don't want to suggest an app that respects all the end user privacy till the end of the heat death of the universe if they don't have a way to actually monetize, make money, and be self-sufficient. We've learned this. This is 2020. If we don't pay for something, it's going to die a horrible death. And then we, the end users, will be extremely upset that why did this company go away? It was such a good product kind of thing. We are now educated to the point to where we understand there's a balance. Like Bruce Lee said, be like water, okay? If you release an application into an ecosystem centered around money, you have to be like water. Yes, you have to make money. That doesn't mean you have to gouge people for money, but try to be the best application you can be socially, ethically, morally, and financially, to where you can self-sufficient your own company and everything moving forward. So I think curation is the key. And I will say, I'm stealing this from Leo Laporte about 2 years ago. What's a prediction that he made?
There's a bloke in the chat room who's actually making some really good points. He's saying that we are not the target audience for these apps. They are psychologically manipulative, and they are designed solely to squeeze money out of the players. And it's starting to invade the AAA titles as well. And I think he's absolutely spot on. Really, he's got it right. These app factories are producing games that are psychologically manipulative, and they're designed to hit kids.
Well, not just kids. That's a whole gimmick. Kids are a innocent bystander. They don't care about kids because kids don't have a lot of money, access to money. What they're looking for is the term is whales. They have people who will literally download a game like the Simpsons, Homer Simpson game, and literally spend $300 a month in buying donuts. What the developer wants to find is those whales. And honestly, in their belief is, you know, if it costs a couple kids their lunches, who cares? I don't care. But I'm after that whale. That's why
these kids have got their parents' credit card loaded up on the Google Play Store already or whatever Play Store, and it's all just all being automatically charged. You know, and you get these stories of kids racking up $700-$800 on these games without the
I honestly cannot say I've heard a single one of those stories in 2019.
No, yeah, you're right. They haven't been that prevalent. Mm.
So maybe it's now 3 million kids with $30 worth of charges, kind of thing.
Well, I don't have a child as old as you guys do. And so I guess I'm curious as to how you regulate their usage of apps, or if you do.
The firewaller is actually very helpful in terms of limiting their time online. That's been a bit of a godsend, actually. And it also helps with the security around, you know, if they do download anything dodgy, I know that the network is pretty well secured against anything that might try and be introduced from it. We have a family library, and my youngest daughter, everything she installs on her phone gets notified to me first. But I check everything she puts on her phone. You have to have an element of trust also with your kids that they'll actually be sensible about stuff that they download. You have to sit down and talk to them and tell them, look, these apps are, you can tell the difference. These apps are designed to rip you off. You know, if they've got low, check the ratings, check the reviews, check the bad reviews, not just the good ones. And check what you're downloading. The other thing is I also make sure that they have malware bytes installed on their phone. Now that comes at a subscription cost, but it's proved handy in the last, especially in the last couple of months, where two kids have downloaded dodgy malware and that's dealt with it. So.
When my kids have devices and they're on a carpeted floor, a couch or a bed, I walk up and smack the device out of their hand. I literally smack devices out of their hand. Yeah, You've had enough of that. Take a break. I encourage them to download everything and infect their phone so then they can't use it for 3 weeks to 3 months, and I don't care. That's how you learn. Because now
the
you
problem
suffer.
Is, though, I need to be able to get hold of them on those phones, and if they're inoperable, then it's a bit of a problem.
Then they don't leave the house until their phone's fixed, and they've got to fix it themselves. They have their own Google accounts with no credit cards connected to them. They can't buy anything. If they want to buy something, we go get them a Google Play gift card. Well, first they ask what they want to buy. We go get a Google Play gift card. Then we put it on their account. I make it very clear, when you prove to me you are fiscally responsible, you will then be able to do whatever you want with your money. But until you prove to me you're fiscally responsible, I'm going to treat you like
staying living with you until they're 30. If you ain't, that right, mate?
And age is nothing but a number. Number one, number two. I live in the first world. My kids can leave their house whenever they want to. I'm not going to kick them out. I'm not going to force them out. I'm not going to tell them they got to leave. When they feel they're comfortable for it, and I feel they're comfortable for it, they can do what they want to do. They're adults. They can make their own decisions. And I encourage them to suffer through a lot of stuff. That's why I will not install an ad blocker on anything on my network. I want them to be inundated with ads every second.
You've got the pie hole, haven't you?
My pie hole is only on my devices. It's not on the network. My wife is inundated with ads. My kids are inundated with ads. Why? Because you got to feel the burn. You got to feel how disgusting this internet is. So you understand what you're putting up with, the amount of privacy that you're completely losing, the amount of intrusive ads you have to deal with nonstop, and the amount of infections and the amount of unwanted wear you get on your devices is your own damn fault. While I live in blissful things, running my Linux machines, running ad blockers, having my own protection on them, where I got nothing to worry about because I lived through it. I've seen the worst of the worst on the internet of infections. I've ran Windows since Windows 3.1 I never want to go through that again. So I educated myself. If they don't want to educate themselves, they can put up with all the ads and all the malware and infections. And I told them anytime they can buy an iOS device, they can buy a Windows device with their own damn money, including my wife, to just never expect me to support it or help you with anything.
Oh, that's a unique take on it. I think it's a bloody good one, actually. Learn by experience.
Oh, it ain't easy. Yeah. Well, it ain't easy, and it's the kind of thing I make my son, who's 14 now, anytime you want to know anything about that kind of stuff, if I don't know it, we can learn it together. You know what I mean? And if I do know it, I'll show you how I know it, kind of thing. And once in a while, he asks questions. But for the most part, he's just like, you know, why does everybody say this about this website? Why does people say this about Xbox, kind of thing? And he's gotten unwanted wear on his phone to where the lock screen gets completely pwned. He can't open up his web browser. So no, he has no access to my password vault. He has no access to my network. In fact, I have him isolated on his own VLAN because I don't trust him that much.
I mean, the other thing is that the firewall is useful. We go through the firewall of logs and you see the number of malicious attacks that are coming in from hardware that's been hardware that's been taken over by a bot or botnets. You know, I get 5 or 6 attacks a day coming through, and the firewaller just deals with those, shuts them down, and away we go. And that's where antivirus software is a complete waste of time and money, because it doesn't pick those up until they actually infect you with something, and you have to. Yeah.
Right.
I would like to thank people for the emails that they sent in. I don't think we have time to read any, but Scott and Captain Zero and Kevin and everyone else that sent them in, we do read them. We just don't necessarily get to them because we're... Does anybody else have any 2020 predictions?
Well, I want to put this website in the chat. It is HTTP, not HTTPS, which I will say, not shocked. OPTOUT, opt out, all one word, .about/ads, ABOUTADS, .info. Okay. This, I believe, has to do something with the new California privacy law, but I have no confirmation on that. What this site is about trying to do, okay, it's from Your Ad Choices. It is a consortium of ad companies who say they have more morals and ethics than other ad companies, okay? What they say is you come to this website, you run this thing, you then have the opportunity to opt out of advertisements with them. You basically run the scan. It then does a check against your browser to see what you are opted out of. And then you select what you want to opt out of. And then it basically sends your results up to their services, which is an ad network. And if you take a look at the ad network icon of Your Ad Choices, yes, that's the same little icon you see on Google ads, and you see on some of the Microsoft ads, and you see on some of the Facebook ads, the little triangle up in the corner. What this is doing, it's not setting a cookie, okay? What this is doing, this is changing a bit in your cache of your browser, which supposedly lets you opt out of what they consider to be less friendly advertisements. I don't know if this is going to grow with any popularity. I don't know if you run this, you'll actually see any less ads. But this is the kind of thing that to me might be an indicator of things that might actually come to fruition in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, and just for full disclosure, when you click on the link, it automatically starts the scan. Like, it doesn't give you the option or a click to scan button or anything like that. It just jumps right into it, apparently.
I honestly, now that you say that, don't know, but it honestly sounds like it's a very North American thing. And then there is, I also will put a link to the factoid page here, especially when my enter button starts to work. There you go. Where they basically tell you what DAA web choice, what it is, what it does, how does it work, and what kind of choices it allows the consumer to have. I don't know what to think about this. I'm not going to say it's good. I'm not going to say it's bad. Of course, if you want to be the administrator of your own network and have a firewalla or a pie hole, these are the kind of tools you probably don't need. But if you have a iMac and you have a turtleneck and you like watching glamcom comedies on Apple TV Plus or whatever, then this kind of thing might actually help your network be a little bit more sane.
Cool. I hope we offended enough people.
That's what I do.
I've got one last prediction. And in 2020, my prediction is that Trump will be reelected as president of the United States. Or if he's not, he will move to Canada and become prime minister.
Not so sure about the second part there.
Dor, you're just shaking your head.
When it comes to politics, I just know I'm never right. I don't think a single person I've ever voted for in my life actually won the election. Now, I will say the last couple elections, there's a reason for that. Like, I voted for the pot-smoking, long-distance, the runner guy, Gary Johnson, the last election. So. Hey, at least he was a legitimate, successful businessman. I'm not saying anything else, but go look at his business. He made a killing with his companies. Yeah, his daddy didn't leave him, you know, $500 million or whatever. I'm just saying. How about them Kiwis? I don't know.
Well, we're having an election this year as well, and I also predict that, the current government will not be reelected. He turned out on his ear, and we'll get a conservative government in. With any luck.
I didn't realize that communist countries were allowed to vote.
Well, you know all about that, right?
Well, and I'll just throw out on a limb and say, if you want to understand how, if you live here in the United States or Canduadia or even Mexico, and you want to know how somebody else in another country thinks, I will encourage you, look for the movie The Castle. It was around what, like 80? It was around like 94, maybe?
97.
97. I was close.
It looks like 84 because it's in Australia in 97. Yeah.
It kind of does. I have it on my Plex server. If you have a Plex account, don't hesitate. Shoot me your email address for your Plex account. I can share my library with you. You can watch it. I'm honestly tempted sometime in February to do like a live viewing party, where a group of us get together and we all agree to hit play at the same time on our own devices and we just watch that movie again.
I'm so into that. Awesome, and I'm pretty sure that Ivor, yeah, it's for anybody that hasn't seen it, which is probably 100% of everyone, it is fantastic.
We just do it on a Google Hangout, couldn't we? Everyone just goes into a Google Hangout and we share the screen with one person, like you do, you just share the screen and the audio and away you go.
Right. Yeah, there's definite ways to do it. And like, here's the thing. I don't want to, with my like end prediction of predictions, I don't think we're going to see anything shocking or revolutionary. I do think we're going to see a never ending fragmentation of appliances, like the Lenovo smart screen, like clock thing. I think we're going to see tons more small niche things. And I don't mean like the stupid Charmin robot from CES or the redonkulous microwave with an Android screen on it, which is just, honestly, that's when you'll have too much money and you just want to throw it away. I think we're going to see actual useful micro appliances out in the real world. I think, you know, we are going to actually see a genuine fuchsia appliance of some size, shape, thing before the end of 2020. But I do see the Android type appliances like the Lenovo smart screen, like smart alarm clocks. Really, there's no reason why they can't sell smart alarm clocks for 40 exactly. bucks,
10 bucks.
So, well, yeah. And eventually down even more and more in price. I really hope to see things like the Ring video doorbell for people to like, you know, mentally transport themselves back to the 60s, put them in the street and run them over with like steamrollers like they did with rock and roll records kind of thing, because they are a complete and utter invasion of your community's privacy for the supposed betterment of your local security. If you have such local security issues that you feel like you have to throw away all your privacy with public-facing cameras on the front of your street, one, maybe you should move, or two, maybe you should get off your butt Stop watching television and movies. Go out your front door and do something about it.
And three, read 1984.
And then weep and cry. The best thing I'll say about 2020 is we're going to see the dying off of the super cheap Android stuff. We're going to see an ever betterment of the mid-tier. We're going to see the ever diminishing super high-end premium devices, where they're always going to have super premium super premium things, and you're always going to have people like MKBHD insist that it's the best thing that's ever been made because he, like, not sure, loves money.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he does. But for the normal consumer like us, the mid-tier devices are going to get remarkably better by the end of 2020, where we're going to be able to spend what is in today's money, $200 to $350, and get what would today be considered a $600 to $700 phone.
Well, I've just done that, actually. I'm giving up my Huawei Mate 20. This was a flagship phone back in October 2018, the Huawei Mate 20. Fantastic phone. It is top of the line. And the big thing about this phone is its camera. And my wife takes a lot of photos. She takes a lot more photos than I do. So I'm giving her this phone because she can get a lot better photos. I just bought an Asus, and I bought another one. I bought a Sony. These were flagship devices 3 years ago, and they're still bloody good. And they've got great cameras. They've got all the things that you get today, like NFC and Bluetooth and everything. They do everything a flagship does. Probably even better battery life. And they're like under $200. And I think we're going to see a continuation of that. You're going to see flagship level devices under $200.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's all about, hate to say it, what's good enough. There's a reason why MP3 is by far the number one format of audio, and the reason why FLAC isn't. People don't care about top quality. They care about good enough.
Yeah. I do have a DSLR with a proper lens, but it's never charged. And you need a degree to actually figure out how to get the best shot out of it. I prefer just point and click with the phone and let the phone do the work.
My right. Final prediction is that 2020 will be hindsight.
Yes.
Drop the mic. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say this. If anybody out there has their own predictions, do not hesitate. AAA@podnuts.com or 7076podnuts.com. You know, it's very easy. We have a thing called show notes. They're right there. Unlike other podcasts, we don't put in our show notes a link to a web page with ads on them, just because if you want to see the show notes, you have to see our ads too. No, our ads are actually non-existent. Or I can just lie to you and say, you know, if you want a completely ad-free version of this show, you can go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts, which it really isn't a lie. It is completely ad-free if you go there.
We do merch as well. You can buy a t-shirt.
I want to thank, yes, that we have them too. You don't have to. If you want to, you can. Do you guys have any final last predictions or anything to say before we end this show there, Josh?
I do. Oh, do you want them now?
Oh, that was fantastic.
I want to first off thank you, Dor, for all the work that you do for Podnuts and for this show in particular. I know that you put in quite a bit of work afterwards to make Ivor and our audio sound halfway decent and usable. And then I would like to thank the chat room for tonight. It was fantastic. It was very busy in there, and everyone else should come out on Thursdays. And the only proper time zone, which is the Pacific Standard Time in Canada. And so that was at 6 o'clock PST and
PSD
PST.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And just, I want to throw out another request for emails, or some other way of contact. I'm been really interested in knowing where people are that listen to this show. And if there even is anybody that is listening besides the few people that contact us. But if you could just shoot an email to Podnuts. There you go. That's the one. AAPodnuts.com. And even just a one word, or if you live in a country with two words, just where you're listening from. I'd be extremely interested. I'll put up a map on the wall and start putting pins in it. I definitely would like to know where people are listening from.
Very cool. Ivor, do you have any last predictions or parting words?
I would like to make the prediction that the Android App Addicts podcast will be more frequent in the future. Hopefully we can manage to get ourselves sorted out so that we can have a show at least once a week. And that's about it. Yeah, thanks again, Dor. I'd support what Josh says. Thanks for all the work you do. Thank you to all our listeners. And yeah, let us know where you're coming from.
Very cool. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Red. Thank you, Eric, everyone who came out in the chat, even the lurkers. I see the numbers and I see that there's lurkers out there, and that's okay. I will predict, yes, we'll be around show 600 by the end of 2020. That's a very good thing to do. Also predict we will get better organized with emails somehow. Thank you guys all for your support. Thank you guys for downloading. Do not forget, the best way to support us is just to partake in the conversations. Be engaged participants of this and not just listeners, i.e. also share the link with somebody you care about and you love who think they might like this as well. Do not go to Apple Podcast and leave us a review, because you do not help Podnuts. You do not help Android App Addicts one iota. You help Apple by doing that. Now, if you want to help Apple, go ahead, leave us a review on that platform. If you want to help Stitcher, leave us a review on that platform. If you want to help Relay FM, leave us a thing on that platform. If you want to help Podbean, leave us a review on that platform. We're on every platform. Do you know why? Because like Josh said, we're ubiquitous. We are not beholden to anybody except ourselves. And we're not beholden to advertisers, thanks to you. We're beholden to you. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for coming out. Hope you guys had a really good week, and we will see you again in about a week. Take it easy, everybody.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is everyday tech for everyday people. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.